Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Another play fake. Tom with time. Man open. Caught. Touchdown. Seth Williams and DC's on the board.
We're Grant and Danny. This is The Fan. Show's brought to you by the law firm Cundori & Murad. They'll help you draft your last will and testament, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their attorneys today at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to let them know we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. Danny, last night the DC Defenders won the XFL Conference Championship game going away. They did it with seeming ease, doubling up the Battle Hawks on the road in St. Louis. Despite being the better team, they had to go to St. Louis based on scheduling conflicts without a field. So it was a 36-18 final. They're on to the title game this Saturday against Michigan. Quite an accomplishment for a team whose coaching staff largely rolled out right before the season started.
That's an underrated bit of craziness right there, is that was like days before. They basically did a Sue Cravens bit.
The week of the start of the season, and it's not like a negative toward Reggie Barlow, in my opinion, because the reason a lot of these folks are in this league is to get another opportunity as players and as coaches.
And I guess he got one.
He got a college job that he had to go take, right? And took a couple of assistants with him, and more are probably going to be joining him after the season. For the players, they're all scratching, clawing for opportunities in the NFL, so they were understanding of it. But that was just one of the doses of some of the adversity that a Defenders team that wasn't expected to be one of the best in the UFL dealt with this year, and now they're going to the title game after playing yesterday. But here's my question to you. We're going to get into Commanders minicamp and hop up a level in just a second. But I am curious, Danny, do you think that a championship game on Saturday, if people know when it's on, you know, can kind of carve out some time to set aside to watch this thing, could that create a situation where DC sports fans that haven't followed the Defenders all year will watch and invest in the game? Or is it just a, if you're in, you care, and if you're not, you don't?
I think more people will tune in. I do. I think championship, well, you know, a lot of, hey, wow, this seems for real. Like, this is pretty cool. I think you get a few more casual fans. Father's Day weekend, I really do. Now, what's that going to translate to? I couldn't tell you. I don't know if that's 6,000 people or 60. I don't, you know, I don't know what the TV ratings are going to be nationally or how much they'll jump up here in the DC area, but it can't hurt, right? I mean, it's not, you're not going down. I mean, the people that were in, I think will remain in, and, you know, a little bit of word of mouth, a little bit spreads, conversations like the ones you and I are having right now, I think it'll only help, but I don't know. I don't know that this is now the turning point for the XFL, UFL, or spring football in general in this marketplace to go from the hardcore fans who are already into the new thing that everybody does.
Right.
That's so hard to say, but yeah, absolutely. I think more people will tune in.
We can open up the phones on this at 800-636-1067 if anybody that's been tracking the Defenders throughout the season wants to hop in. But just looking at some of the numbers, I know this was something you guys talked about discussing when I was on vacay a little over a week ago. I'm not sure if you ended up doing it.
We ended up not. No, we got too busy.
UFL ratings dropped 20% this season on television. Mm-hmm. And attendance figures, even here in D.C., which has been the number two stronghold behind St. Louis, have been down a little bit this season as well. And there's all kinds of conversations going on and debates as to what is happening and why this is. And the fact is, it's just been nearly impossible for these spring leagues to get a footing. Mm-hmm. And in D.C., it's actually been a pretty significant success story.
It has been, yes.
They're still announcing attendances upwards of close to 10,000 at a time over at Audi Field. I go there regularly as a season ticket holder now and kind of have a lot of fun, and I go with buddies, and it's a great way to watch the game. We actually have tickets in the club level, so there's food and drink, and you know, if it's raining, you can go inside, not unlike any of the other like club level experiences that you can have. But it is true that the TV numbers are diminishing, or at least were down this year, and that the attendance at some of these games was down. So presumably the UFL is going to have to go back to the drawing board to see what's not working. But I'd be curious to get your thoughts. I mean, you've never really been a proponent of the league necessarily, but aren't necessarily rooting on its downfall either. I just think there's two types of people, or two groups of people. There are people who have gone and actually like it. Mm-hmm. And they go, this was a lot of fun. I'll watch a game or two.
I'll do that.
Doesn't mean you're going to get to be a huge fan.
Or you're doing a beer snake or have all, you know, like
exactly.
You've got a shield and sword.
Maybe that's a third group of people.
Right? Which is
I guess if we're going to do that, there's four groups. There's the diehards.
Uh-huh.
Who are like acting like it's their favorite.
They're
team.
Actually defending things.
God bless them, right? More of them, the better. That makes it a fun atmosphere. They're the reason Audi Field is cool. Then the opposite of them is the people, I would say, who are like rooting against it, which is a very small group of people, but they're like, it's not the NFL. The product's not any good.
Yeah, that sentiment exists, I think,
right?
For sure.
And then there's the other two groups, which is like me, where you go, my kid loves going to these games. It's cheaper than going to an NFL game. Mm-hmm. It's way more reasonable to take him to one of these games than it is to Northwest Stadium. We're going to get tickets. We're going to support this team. The gear is cheap to buy on the outside of the stadium.
And uh-huh.
They'll wear a Defenders t-shirt inside. And then there's just people that like haven't given it a shot, aren't interested, not rooting against it, but if it was on outside, you know, their front lawn, they would close their blinds.
Which uh-huh.
I don't really understand that if they like football anyway. But I think you can get a few more people to watch. But I think for the most part, it is what it is now. Like, it's been three football seasons that they've had these games at Audi with a raucous atmosphere. There's been plenty of opportunities for people to go. The ones that go come back and tell the story and kind of spread the gospel that this thing's pretty cool. I can't imagine that many people have gone and not had fun. But I think if someone was interested or was open to the possibility,
they would have already done it.
At some point, they would have jumped.
Yeah. These things, and let me just piggyback on that, or even devil's advocate a little bit. I think things like a spring football league, because we've had the rug pulled so many times, there needs to be a little bit more consistency. If this thing can keep going for another handful of seasons, this will be by far and away the longest and most successful, I put that in quotes, spring football league that's ever been. Because every time we've done the hype, right? We've done the excitement. Here's Vince McMahon. I'm running a spring football league. And then the rug gets pulled and it gets canceled. Or, you know, SNL starts or, you know, whatever. We've had some of those moments where it's financially not worked and you've invested and you got the rug pulled. So I understand the reticence, but potentially from some fans. I think for something to be part of the casual consciousness of the sports fan, where your entertainment dollar is limited, your hours are limited, you got the kids, et cetera. If you're going to set aside that amount of time to go to one of these things, I think sometimes you got to get beaten over the head a little bit. Sometimes you have to get, constantly reminded 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times. I mean, it's how sometimes movies don't succeed at the box office but become cult classics. You've seen that happen a million times. And for a new sports league, a new sports team in a league that nobody's really sure, is it going to sustain? Is it going to be around? I understand maybe people not quite getting in yet, not jumping in with both feet. I also don't begrudge people that did from Jump Street, to your point, who go, I love football. I get football for a third of the price. It's more fun than going to a Maryland game, or more fun than going to see, for years, the stupid team at Nubs Field and get my teeth kicked into traffic. I'm going to an area that I like going to. The stadium is awesome. So I kind of understand all the perspectives on it. But in terms of winning a championship, or at least being in one, and kind of that word of mouth, I think it's only positive. How much, I think, is going to be a fascinating thing to see.
Yeah. It's hard to say, right? I remember calling play-by-play for the Valor games. They won a title in a league where there was less than a half dozen teams. And they had won a couple games all regular season, mm-hmm. and then they had a playoff and won a championship. And it was a culmination of the year for the team,
yep.
and for their fans that had been their season ticket holders. But there was no added juice at all, really. Like the fact that this Arena League title was being held, nobody else was getting in. The UFL is on a different level. These games are being broadcast on Fox yep. and on ESPN, and there is just more of a legitimacy from the quality of the players and familiar names. I don't know what it would take for this league, though, to really make a leap, or even if it's possible. You know, we used to debate this on the show all the time. Can a spring league work? And I think I've kind of been beaten into submission on this to say, no, it really can't. Because there have been so much, you know, all the resources have been thrown at this thing. The NFL would really have to get behind it, which it has to a small extent. You know, you've got carryover with Dean Blandino and the broadcast rights and some of the officiating stuff, and the league takes some things from the UFL. But in a way that it's not ever going to, it would really have to back it and endorse it and support it and throw some financial commitment to it. And it just seems like there are too many people that aren't willing to give it a shot. And I'm not calling them names. I'm just saying that's a reality.
That's the reality, right?
It's true. They like football. There's no reason they wouldn't like this football, but I could tell them that till I'm blue in the face. If they're not going out to the games or stopping when they're flipping through TV because it's a Saturday spring league with non-NFL players, then there's not a whole lot I can tell them.
I wonder where the settle point is. And I guess what I mean is what's killed these leagues in the past is the initial burst, the initial let's watch, right? The 1.2 million viewers in the first week or the first whatever. You'll see some of these people check it out of curiosity and not come back. What's killed them in the past is they've kind of burned through their startup cash, not gotten enough eyeballs or not gotten enough whatever dollars to kind of keep it sustained. This one seems to have gone in eyes wide open, right? Where it's like, we understand we're going to lose money for a while.
Right.
Right. Now, how long can you do that for? I don't know. I've never run a startup. I've never run a professional sports league. But with that understanding and that longer view commitment, if you settle into a place, and I'm just making these numbers up just sort of based on some of the TV ratings this year, they're down on average from, you know, 800 some odd thousand to in the 600 some odd thousand, you know, just based on whatever data you can find. Who know how accurate that is, I don't know. But just bear with me. If you can stay in that 800 to a million range, is that good enough? Like, can you be viable doing it that way, cutting some of the corners that they do in terms of cost, right? Where they don't live and play and work here during the week. Everybody lives and works and plays in Dallas, and they have a hub, and it's cheaper to fly people to games on a, you know, on a Friday evening. You play Sunday, and you're back home Monday morning in your homestead in Dallas, back to going out for practice again. You know, cutting some of the corners cost-wise, does that make this viable? I don't know the answer to these questions. But if you're willing to kind of take it on the chin for a little bit and show that you're going to be around, I think the more you keep doing this, the more you're in front of people's eyeballs, the more it can grow in that regard. I just don't know that they've never been able to hang around for long enough to make it sustainable to me.
It's possible, but it's going the wrong way year over year. It's not like there's momentum or it's building. So that's what gives me some pause there. I think a lot of it is just going to have to be quarterback play. And can one of these leagues, and it's, when I say one of the leagues, it's probably the UFL. This is the best shot they got, TV deals and otherwise. Can they get quarterbacks that are really interesting? Can they get, whether it's legitimate, actual quality quarterbacks that are, you know, non-NFL guys anymore, but like Jordan Tamu is a good example, who's going to win the MVP award, who bounced around practice squads. I think about Ben DiNucci, who started for the Cowboys for, you know, half of a season or so, who's been in the UFL. Like, there are guys like that. Maybe the plan has to be, and I don't want this because I think quality of play has to be so important. Maybe if you go the route of like interest over quality with, you know, getting a Johnny Manziel or Tim Tebow. I mean, he's a dated reference now, but Cam Newton, or, you know, he wouldn't play.
No, but I know what you mean. Yeah, like, I do. Yeah.
So people are just turning in for a celebrity at quarterback. Maybe that's what it is. But the numbers are the numbers. I mean, looking at it, this season, they've had 5 games of the 40 in the regular season that were televised. They're all televised on the networks as of the time of this write-up I'm reading. That had more than 900,000 viewers, so about 1 out of every 8. A regular season game between the Roughnecks and the Defenders, DC's team, was the UFL's most watched contest at 1.35 million. The game followed the Indianapolis 500 a few weeks ago, which helped its viewership. Six games had more than a million views. That, to me, is an example of, like, the eyeballs were there,
yeah,
and people watched it. Mm-hmm. But you got it. How do you build it so that they come? I just comp that to the Indiana Fever and the Chicago Sky and the WNBA Saturday, just 2 days ago. And Caitlin Clark didn't even play in the game, right? But it's Caitlin Clark's team that everybody's locked in on.
Right.
And that game peaked at 3.1 million viewers on CBS, which was streamed on a bunch of their platforms, Paramount Plus, Fubo, DirecTV, whatever. Record-setting viewership back in 2024. 22 regular season games averaged at least 1 million viewers. And so as I sit here, I wonder, well, those numbers aren't even close. Like, with the Caitlin Clark effect and what's going on in the WNBA, they don't have that. They don't have the thing that people are tuning in for. Do you need a catch? Do you need something? Let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067. Anthony's in Chantilly. What's up, Anthony? How are you?
Hey, guys. Love the show.
Appreciate you, dude.
I think the only way that people tune in or people watch is if you throw the NFL name behind it. They throw some real money. They throw some real interest. Call it a developmental league, a spring league, a summer league, something like that, where maybe undrafted free agents go, maybe practice squad guys go to make an impression, get noticed, get seen. If there's no NFL backing behind it, I don't think there's any of these leagues can find success.
Anthony, thank you, buddy. So we talked about this before when it came to a spring league in general, and my point then is the same thing I'll say to Anthony now. The league already has the best developmental league there is. It's college football, where they don't have to do a damn thing, and you get excellent, high-level, national marquee stars that everybody gets to know playing at Alabama and Penn State and Ohio State and Michigan and Clemson and all the elite blue bloods, that they're stars by the time they come into the league. The marketing is already done for you. Everybody knows who the Heisman Trophy winner is. Everybody knows who the best couple of players are on this team, that team, as they're vying for the national championship. It's not going to excite the NFL to go, let me spend, I'm just making up a number, $20 million a year for a pool of the guy that might be my 51st guy on the roster. There's no way to incentivize teams to do that to me. Just because it's the right thing to do doesn't make a lot of sense, I think, from the NFL's perspective. So you've already got the best developmental league there is with a ton of interest. The second biggest sport in America is college football behind the NFL. So I don't think that can be the strategy. I do. I'm now actually, it's interesting. You're probably more defeatist about it. I do think there's a place where this can kind of settle and it can sort of limp along as it is and work and sort of fill that calendar where kind of like the WNBA used to. So the WNBA for so many years wasn't financially successful, wasn't getting the ratings, wasn't viable, wasn't this huge thing, but otherwise the arena was empty. That these different cities, different places where we don't have anything. We're trying to fill it with arena football.
But
we're
the
doing
NBA
ice capades
paid
or whatever
to keep it running.
And that's the point.
It took a loss year after year after year.
But the loss wouldn't be as bad as having the building be empty. So in other words, you're paying rent for an empty building. Now you pay rent, but you make some of it back by putting on an event.
But the UFL can't survive in that comp because the NFL is not paying for the red.
No, I understand that. But
the losing of the money.
It's the, you don't lose that much money. And the values of some of these organizations will potentially go up and there's some tie-ins and the league can kind of keep getting by. I don't think it's ever going to be this lucrative and, you know, the thing that maybe they had in mind over the years past where people were just going, it's football and I love football. Whenever I can get football, I want it. I don't think that's a thing. I do think there's a way that this can sort of slip in, as I keep saying, kind of settle into this
very
niche sort of deal that smartly is run and can survive.
Yeah, but number one, that was never the goal. The goal was not that 750,000 people
watch. Right, no, that's true. That's true.
And you just survive with, you know, 6,000 of us sitting there watching games. The goal was always, could this be a flourishing, successful, fun, growing, exciting league that people care about? Mm-hmm. Would be the first thing I would say to that. I mean, is it possible that it's around in 10 years because they just keep doing enough to get by? Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure it's possible. I also don't know the numbers. They may be right now making money. Mm-hmm. I have no idea. I would just assume financially things aren't great, but I don't know. I'm not saying it's dead. I'm just saying when we talked about this when the league first launched with the XFL going back to 2020 before the pandemic, when there were 15,000-plus people at Audi Field for every game. It was awesome. At that time, I thought, this has a real chance to do something. That was 5 years ago. Then the pandemic came. They shut the season down halfway through. There was a year without it. The XFL comes back, merges with the USFL into this new entity, the United Football League. At the beginning of the UFL, which was two football seasons ago now, I thought, all right, this has a chance to be really big. I think this thing, and I'm just saying, I don't see that anymore, because what I've always thought was football fans will give this thing a shot. They will go to games, they will watch it, and they just don't. They don't care about it that much. The same people that love college football, which most college games are a lower level of competition than these games. I would grant you that like really good SEC Big Ten games might be every bit as good or better. But those are very rare to have two quality teams better than this. I would, you know, people say, oh, the quality of football matters. It's got to be really good. These guys are all going to be at training camps coming up in a few weeks, most of them. Like the quality of the play outside of the NFL, there's no other semi-pro league better than this. So I just thought that the football drug in this country would be addictive enough that people would give it a shot. And I just, most people don't, which is the way it's going to go. That's fine. But I am curious locally how many people will watch the championship game this weekend because DC's in it that weren't interested the rest of the year. I think it's a very small number, but hopefully whatever that number is, those people going into next season
go, hey, that's pretty good. Right?
Hey, I want to go out to Audi Field and see these guys try to keep their careers alive, playing for peanuts for the dream of trying to be in the NFL. Like, I find that awesome and romantic, and I root for it. I know I'm in the minority.
Yeah, I mean, looking at it, again, I don't think it can hurt, but it's about, you know, how substantial is that number for retention purposes, because it hasn't caught the way that folks would want, I think, year over year.
Minicamp starts tomorrow. This is not the voluntary. Danny, this one's mandatory. What's going to happen with Marshawn Lattimore? What's going to happen with Laramie Tunsil? We're going to get some answers on Terry McLaurin when minicamp becomes mandatory tomorrow. We're Grant and Danny.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
A gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back live at the Georgetown waterfront in the Washington Harbor, where Grant and Danny overlooking the fountain where the 1718 Capitals celebrated the Stanley Cup 7 years ago to the day. TJ Oshie, who was the captain of the swimming in the fountain operation that day. Osh will be in the fountain, maybe, we're wondering. That's our poll of the day presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage. Will he get in the water today? Big announcement, 5:30 press conference. We're not sure exactly what it is, but we are assuming that Oshie will be officially retiring from the National Hockey League. So if you're coming out to the event today, we're overlooking the fountain in the backdrop. Come on over and say hello. You can't miss the Big Red 106.7 The Fan tent out here. It's a beautiful day. A little overcast. Sun's behind a cloud right now, but it's getting a little chilly. It's nice.
Yeah, when the Drew Brees is out, oh, it is delightful up here. It is very, very nice. We sleep on the waterfront.
Let's go to the phones. 800-636-1067 is the number. And let's talk to Teddy, who's in D.C. on Grant and Danny. What's up, Teddy?
Hey, man. What's going on?
What up, buddy?
Thank you for taking my call.
You got it.
I think one of you guys hit it on the nose, man, when you said that they need to stop bringing, you know, more people that, you know, people that we used to know, that used to see playing back in the day, just something like the, the ball hog? No, not the ball hog, but the big three. Something similar to that, you know, bring it back to older guys and see how they doing with the health and stuff like that. Where so we could understand and know what we're watching. If we could explain to our kids, like, hey, man, that used to be such and such back in the day. And, you know, he's not good in your eyes, but back in the day he was, you know, fantastic, you know. And That's about it. But thank you for my call.
Yeah, appreciate you, dude. So like the name recognition thing, yeah.
It would take a shift, though, in what they're trying to be.
Yeah.
But you got to survive. Here's what I don't know, and you brought this up last segment. What kind of financial situation are they in?
Right.
How perilous is it? Maybe the league's looking at all of its numbers right now, and they go, we got two more years before we have to worry about anything. If that's the case, then just keep chopping wood and see if you can make it work for another year. See where it's at. But if you're in a bad spot and it's not working and it's not resonating, then maybe you do have to pivot just a little bit from, hey, we're going to have the best young available NFL hungry talent, guys off practice squads, guys that are trying to keep the dream alive, dudes that were in college last year, rosters that we could put together. But to the caller's point, let's say they're in trouble. Now you go, okay, I'm just trying to pick a random
veteran. Like, do you have to Manziel it?
Exactly.
Whether it's him or not, but that's the point, right?
Do you give a contract to I'm trying to think of like a really old defensive lineman, like Calais Campbell, right after he's
right,
done
after he's in done,
year
yeah.
20 in the NFL, and then he plays a year in the UFL. I think things like that could be smart. Maybe there is a happy medium. I don't know if Nathan Peterman's the answer, but like think about backup quarterbacks in the NFL, just as an example. Like the Browns have 7 quarterbacks right now, right? But the last guy on their depth chart at quarterback is ultimately going to be like Dillon Gabriel. If in 2 years Dillon Gabriel's out of the NFL, he's the kind of guy that would be in the UFL. But there's obviously not enough attention
to
players like that.
Yeah, it's got to be like the college star that couldn't make it in the NFL, the Brody Croyles of the world, right? Like the dude that was a god at Alabama or like, you know, so important at Auburn or Texas or wherever that couldn't make it in the league. Maybe that's the way to do it. I don't know. I mean, it's so hard on a million levels, but I think one of the hardest parts is the goal of a lot of the players in the league is to not be in the league. You know what I mean? Like that's its own sort of endless kind of treadmill challenge that it does face, right? Where it's better for the head coach of the DC Defenders to leave to go to a small college football program, in his mind, than it is to be the coach of the DC Defenders. I think that hurts.
Well, currently, I don't think that's where the league wants to be.
It doesn't want to be there. No, you're right.
I think the point of him being there is so that he can get a job in the NFL,
right?
But at that time, there was a dispute at the start of the year between the players and the league, and they were trying to basically get together as a union to try to get more insurance and get more money. And, you know, those are types of things where you don't know where are we headed this year. Is there going to be a work stoppage? I don't know if that was a factor or not. But, yeah, they want to be at a point where Reggie Barlow's not taking a job at Tennessee State or whatever it was so that he can go be the head coach there and leave DC and the XFL at maybe the number two organization in terms of attention, fanfare. You want to be bigger than that. Yep. You want to be better than that. They're just not there yet. You're right. That's a sign of the times. All right. Speaking of the times, minicamp is tomorrow for the Commanders. They are showing back up to work for the first time. It'll be mandatory to be there this spring at their organized team activities. So far, Marshawn Lattimore, Laramie Tunsil, and Terry McLaurin have been the notable no-shows at voluntary minicamp, and we don't know that any of those three guys won't be there tomorrow. But here's my guess. I think we get Laramie Tunsil. I think we get Marshawn Lattimore. Those two guys weren't there just basically out of convenience, seemingly.
Uh-huh.
I don't think Terry McLaurin shows up.
I don't either.
McLaurin, who wants a contract, who is currently at odds, to whatever extent a guy is team first as McLaurin can be at odds with the club over wanting a new deal. And they got a lot of time. I still think this thing's coming in a month or so, end of this month, into, you know, July 4th, about when he signed his last one. But if he's not there tomorrow, how big of a deal do we think that'll be?
So I talked to our good friend Scott Abraham last night for ABC 7 News and the sports. And he said, is this big deal, not a big deal? And I view it a different way, even though I think we get to the same conclusion. If I had to bet, I would bet on a deal getting done. However, until it does, every milestone that separates them, to me, is a big deal. This is your lead goose. This is the guy. This is the first example of who you want to be like. When an undrafted rookie shows up, you go, if you want to make it in this league, you follow 17 around. You wear what he wears. You smell like what he smells like. You eat what he eats and work out how he does. Everything we want is him. And when that guy and you all are not on the same page, haven't come together, until you do, it's a big deal to me. Now, again, I would still bet that they do come together. So a lot of people skip to the end. I think that's reasonable too. But for me, it is a big deal when your shining example, when your leader, when your dude that you can't wait to pay is waiting to be paid. That's a big deal to me. And it's always one of those things everyone sort of, it's going to get done. And it probably will. I always wonder what the holdup is. I wonder why, if everyone's on the same page and we all love each other, let's get hitched. Let's just do it.
Well, there's a lot of money.
There's a lot of stuff involved.
A gap between the two sides, right?
Which
Lauren wants probably close to $33, $34 million, and they probably want him to be close to $28, $29 million. And eventually they're going to split the difference, but deadline spur deals, and we're not there yet. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not going to be done this far in advance. But here's my question. So go back to 2022, 3 years ago, when we did this again.
Yep.
Do you remember what happened at mandatory minicamp?
He didn't post.
He didn't post. It couldn't have mattered any less.
Right.
So this will be turned into a big story tomorrow. I don't think it is one. We'll talk about it. We should talk about it. I don't view it as a deal breaker or a game changer. This is how you negotiate as a player. This is the leverage that you have. Now, hear me very clearly. If Marshawn Lattimore is not at mandatory minicamp tomorrow, that's a massive deal. To our knowledge, this is not a guy that's looking for a new contract. And oh boy, if it turns into he's not there and we find out he is looking for a new contract, that would be hilarious. And I'll have a lot of thoughts about that.
I'll have some thoughts.
But we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Laramie Tunsil, more likely than Lattimore, could want some new money. But it doesn't, by any account, seem like he's looking for a new contract right now either. And because of that, I think he'll be there. If he's not at mandatory minicamp, that would be a big deal. Lattimore, huge deal. Tunsil, big deal. McLaurin tomorrow not being there, not only expected, no deal at all to me. It would be weird if he did show up. He's trying to get a contract. Him and the team aren't close on numbers. This is literally the way the game is played. Don't hate the player, man. This is how
that's
you
how the
get
structure is,
your contract. This is now being run by an agent who's telling him when to show up and when not to, who's involved in the conversations with Adam Peters. And if we're at training camp and Terry McLaurin's not there, that's when I'll now say that the needle has moved for me. We got ourselves a problem. Houston, I'll get on the phone and say we got some work to do. But until he's not at training camp, which is not going to happen in my opinion, there's nothing that can happen in the meantime that would surprise me or frustrate me. He's trying to get paid. The team's trying to do the best by the club.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on record as saying this is going to be a bad deal by the end for the team, but you got to do it anyway because McLaurin's Mr. Commander. So here we are.
Again, I think that's a very respectable and reasonable way to look at it. I just sort of, I don't know. I can't think of a great example of when it's gone south. I go back to, I think it was Daryl Gardner back in the day where he left everything in his locker because he knew he'd be back. And all of a sudden the team didn't meet his demands and he didn't want to be back. And next thing you know, we didn't play for Washington anymore and went somewhere else. I mean, that's, you know, 17 regimes ago, 30 years ago. But just until it's done, I will remain kind of going, hey, just a reminder, this isn't done. It's not done yet. But I totally understand your perspective and it makes a lot of sense.
It just feels to me like the press conference starts at 5:30.
Yep.
And at 4:00, you're going, just as a reminder, the press conference hasn't started yet. Why would the extension be done now? None of these extensions for them have gotten done at this point. Even McLaurin in this exact situation, it was still a month from now. So I'm not saying you shouldn't sit here and tell us the press conference hasn't started, but it's listed to start at 5:30 for TJ Oshie today.
Right. And in the interim, events that we're told are important, that matter, that count, he's not at for that reason. You know, so if this was, hey, we're real close, he's there, but he's quote unquote holding in. He'll be with his teammates and he's just not going to run routes. That would go a long way to quelling any of my, let's not count our chickens before they're hatched. Like to me, like your version of that. And I think it's a really good analogy. Hey, this press conference hasn't started. You're going, we're going to have so many chickens. Like the amount of chickens that we're having is astounding. And I'm going, well, they're just eggs right now. Like let's not count them.
On a McLaurin extension, I am willing to count the chickens before they hatch. I just there doesn't really seem like a path that it didn't work out. And it, in the event that somehow it didn't, in a hypothetical where it went so far sideways, then my answer to that would be that probably better that it did.
Mm.
Because
meaning his demands were so outrageous.
Either he wanted something so insane or they were at odds anyway over what kind of player he is or what they're looking for moving forward. Like if it's reasonable enough that he's going to be important here and they're going to pay him $32, $33 million a year, and that's what he's asking for, they'll do that as soon as it's time to do it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I have full faith in that. If we get to a point where he's ready to walk because they're so far apart, then he's trying to get paid like Jefferson or Chase. And with all due respect to my sweet prince, Terry McLaurin,
Little Terry,
I'm not playing that game, but I don't think that's what he wants. Cooler heads will eventually prevail here. We'll get you a double play coming up on the Fan. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Remember, we are outside in the heat. It is beautiful out here on the Georgetown waterfront. The classy name I was looking for earlier, Washington Harbor.
The Washington Harbor. Yes.
We're at the Harbor, home of the 1718 Capitals Fountain Celebration, where TJ Oshie has a 5:30 press conference to make a very special announcement today. You'll hear it live on the Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back live at the Georgetown waterfront, Grant and Danny with you at Washington Harbor on the Fan, where we are hanging out, getting ready for TJ Oshie's press conference. I always like, we just had a young listener come up, younger guy who says he listens every day. And I'm thinking,
like, how do you do that, buddy?
Is he sneaking a phone into school or what? But he is a radio listener, which is what we like. He's listening the old fashioned way. On the radio, so we appreciate that. It is time for our double play on G&D. We do it every day at 3:45, driven by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Now's the time for a great deal on a new Honda. Visit your local Washington area Honda dealer today.
So I recognize this is probably not the greatest story to do, like seeing as we literally just met two nice young children, but this story has come across my
radar. You can still pivot. They are right behind
us. I know, they're literally right there, but this is for the masses. I found the story incredible and fascinating.
Read the room, Rouye.
I'm doing well. Here we go. Any hoodles, a 24-year-old cold case was solved locally here in Chevy Chase, Maryland. Maryland man pleads guilty to a 2001 cold case murder of a Chevy Chase mom. I remember this story from living here at the time. This was a scary, weird, bizarre situation. No leads. No one knew anything. No one could figure anything out. And it just, you know, was all over the news for, you know, a normal bit of a news cycle, and periodically there'd be updates, but nothing. No one could find anything, and it was 24 years later. They finally found the person, caught him red-handed, and he confessed to it. An amazing, unbelievable
thing. What do you mean red-handed? Like he was doing it again?
No, red-handed's not exactly the right term there, but like DNA evidence that they didn't have access to, they were finally able to do it.
This is how they always solve these, I feel like.
Yeah.
24 years ago, when they couldn't solve anything, the people were still pretty good. The technology is just so much better now. So now you can go back through with all of the, you know, stuff we didn't have then, comb back over these cases and see what's what, and they solved most of them. There's a TV show about this called Cold Cases.
Indeed, and this absolutely could have been on there. Again, decades-old case. At the time, this guy was 15 years old, and he was dating this woman's daughter and was never a suspect, never part of any kind of conversation other than, you know, filling in background and finding out information as best they could. But breakthrough in forensic evidence, DNA evidence, technology, to your point, 24 years later, this guy now 44 pleaded guilty to the killing of this Chevy Chase woman.
Wow.
I was blown away by that. Because, again, I'm old enough. I remember the names I would have forgotten, of course. But it was this thing where everyone was like, what the hell is this? This came out of nowhere. Like, there were, you know, it wasn't necessarily your normal, again, if there is such a thing, a home invasion or something terrible, some sort of awful tragedy, and they found the person that did it. Took a long time, but justice was served.
You know what I always think about in these instances, and obviously a person capable of committing a heinous act like this is probably built different than the rest of us, and there's something not quite right there. But, like, for me, if I say something that I can tell offends Danny Ruye today, yeah, I will think about it all night long, to the point where I might have to rip off a text to you tonight and be like, hey, man, hey, sorry I said that, or tomorrow morning. With a guy like this living with this for multiple decades, right, and he's not the victim here by any means, are the Wolves caving in on you every hour of every day?
I don't
know. Are you just constantly in a state of panic that you're going to be caught, that someone's going to be the wiser, that eventually someone's going to catch up to what you were doing? Or are you in chill mode? Are you just very casual in your ability to not ever think about it?
I think you probably settled into complacency. The first day, 48 hours, week, whatever, you're probably living on edge. You're probably, you know, you can't get your mind wrapped around anything. You're waking up in nightmares. You think every time you hear a police siren, it's for you. You think anytime somebody's panicked, it's for you. Any news story, it's just a matter of time where you're peering out your window. I think eventually you just settle in and you're living your life and you think, yeah, I've gotten away with it scot-free. 24 years later, man. Unbelievable.
Pretty amazing. It's time for my double play. Huge day at the Paulson household today. Creature Cases dropped a brand new season. Season 5 of Peacher Paces. That's what my son called it when he was very young. He can now say Creature Cases.
Creature Cases.
Less cute, but more accurate when he calls them Creature Cases. This is a Netflix show. Are you familiar with the work of
I've never
Sam
heard those words.
Kit?
No.
Basically, Sam and Kit are these little creatures who...
They have cases.
They solve cases. Like, if they were on the case you were just talking about, it wouldn't have taken 24 years.
They solve it.
I can tell you that right now. Because Sam and Kit get things done in 16 minutes. That's how long the episodes are. And they've never had a cold case, these guys. They crush it. But they, along the way, you're learning things about animals. I'm coming downstairs today. Brand new season. They've already ripped through 5 or 6 episodes of the 16 minutes. They've been waiting for June 9th for this thing to drop all along. For me, it's TJ Oshie Day. For them, it's Peacher Paces Day.
Peacher Paces.
And it turns out that they've got these new nuggets, all these new things they've learned about all these animals. Did you know that even though mammals don't typically have eggs, but this one specific mammal does this one thing? I liken a kid's show that I can watch and is moderately entertaining, but also that they're learning while they're watching it. That's the happy place.
That's the sweet spot. Usually my kids will sniff that out and then not like the show because
right.
of it. If you've got that going, by all means, you do it. Like, my guys never did Sesame Street. Just they were like, nope, they're trying to teach me something. I'm out. I don't care about Oscar the Grouch or Big Bird or how cool anybody is. I'm not doing it. That sounds awesome.
Peacher Paces,
Peacher
man.
Peacher Paces.
The Creature Cases is an animated preschool children's television series created by Netflix, produced by Sony Pictures. A holiday special labeled as Chapter 2 was released on November 30th, 2022. The
Very
third
special.
Chapter in May of 23. November of 24 was the fourth chapter. And today, Chapter 5. 8-episode linear debut on Nickelodeon for 4 weeks in 2024.
Did you guys ever do Chip and Dale's Rescue Rangers back in the day?
Oh, way, 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 way back when. That was my go-to.
Because there's no case too big, no case too small.
Right.
If you need help, just call. Chip and Dale's the best.
What do you know about Sam Snow, the snow leopard? What do you know about Kit Casey, the yellow kit fox?
Is he on Creature Cases?
Well, Sam Snow is, and so is Kit Casey.
Okay.
Peggy Scratch. Brown Chicken. They got some good characters there.
By the way, those are excellent character names.
I think so, too. I think they're pretty good. Beltway Blitz is next. The NBA, the NFL, the Commanders. TJ Oshie's press conference is going to start at 5:30. I just saw the always punctual Joe Beninati, who's on site. He'll be the master of ceremonies today. They're setting up the stage with giant sevens. The 77 T-shirts and sweaters are already pretty plentiful all around the...
They're in the boot.
Beautiful fountain where we are sitting today. We are on the Georgetown waterfront on Grant and Danny.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.